Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, I hope that you have noticed that during these Sundays now of ordinary time, not only are we taking the gospel passage from the Gospel of Matthew, but we are concentrating upon chapters 6 and 7. That is the Sermon on the Mount. And this Sermon on the Mount is much deeper and wider than many people assume. So often I hear people saying that the Sermon on the Mount is actually the Beatitudes. But the Beatitudes are really a prologue to the Sermon on the Mount. They become a way by which to create a context in which to understand what our Lord is saying about the law and how he has come not to abolish it, but to fulfill it, to move very deeply into the meaning of the law that we had received from God through Moses, to understand what it calls us to do and to be. And that Sermon on the Mount, coming at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, is actually our Lord's description of what it means to be a disciple. That is, being drawn deeply into the life of Christ and manifesting it in our own life in a day-to-day fashion. So that throughout the Sermon on the Mount, various issues are brought up by which our Lord can describe to us that character of a true disciple, one who will follow in the footsteps of Jesus himself. So this Sunday that is coming up, we're going to hear about a very specific aspect of discipleship that is often the most difficult to follow and to accept. For even today, 2,000 years after it was first preached, the commandment that our Lord gives us seems strange to us, and it requires a great deal of thought to realize what it is that our Lord is telling us. And in the midst of the gospel that you will hear on this coming Sunday, our Lord sums up his little address by saying, "So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." That is, you need to know who God our Father is, how in fact he relates to us, and not only to us human persons, but to his creation as a whole. And we need, in fact, to imitate the way that God looks upon us so that we can look upon others, true images of God, and live that life that God has revealed to us as the perfection of our human existence. And in order to see how this is done, we look very closely to the life of Jesus Christ. For he is not only true God, he is also true man. He is the perfection of human understanding, of human life, of human attitudes, and human action. So be perfect, our Lord tells us, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. And he tells us also that although some of the commandments may be quite challenging to us, he assures us that God will provide the grace in order to accomplish those things to which he has called us. But we have to understand that at the very heart of discipleship, as it is at the very heart of God Himself, lies the virtue of caritas, as our Latin Christians called it, the attitude of love. St. John, in both his gospel and in his letters, stressed the fact that before God is all-knowing, which he is, all-powerful, he is love, the very essence of love. And that is the love that we are called upon to love within ourselves and to grant to others. Now, of course, the Church teaches love as a theological virtue. That is, it is a virtue that we receive by a special gift from God. The love about which the gospel speaks is not a natural endowment. For we often use the term love to express attraction, esteem, care for, cherishing. But the kind of love that Jesus calls us to live is a love that defines God, and it is only by the gift of God that we can adapt it as well. That is why both the Greek Christians and the Latin Christians almost made up new words to describe this. Now, I mention this nature of God's love and the love to which we are called, that perfection of our discipleship by imitating the perfection of God, is something that we have to understand very deeply. The caritas of God, the love of God, is not simply liking or a kind of natural attraction to another person, or a delight in pleasing that other person. But the caritas of God, as Jesus tells us, reigns on both the good and the bad. And it's not that God is simply ignoring the evil that can be done, but the gospel is telling us that the love of God always wishes the good for the other, never returning evil for evil. For in fact, if we return evil for evil, we are simply caught up in a cycle of violence, of hatred, of lack of concern, but always to do the good for the other. It's something to keep in mind, because there are some people whom we shall meet that are not really very congenial people, to be honest, not very pleasing to us. But although they may not be pleasing, although they may be harsh, lacking understanding, or even perhaps doing evil, we never return that evil with an evil of our own. We always say, what is the good that I can do for that other in any particular circumstance? And it is here in understanding that character of love that Jesus introduces what I have often called a kind of vinegar test for Christian discipleship. It is when Jesus calls us to love our enemies. And we ask, who is our enemy? So often, when someone has done something that is clearly wrong, perhaps very deeply hurtful, injuriously done to our well-being, we often kind of excuse it. Oh, that person didn't know what he was doing. Or that person was so poorly educated he didn't know right from wrong. But in fact, loving our enemy is not excusing what they do, but realizing that we are called then to love that person by wishing the good for him. Now, this may be simply by stopping an act of violence, but never out of hatred or revenge, but out of a desire that the person may, for example, come to his senses. And that loving of an enemy is based on a desire to right a wrong, but also on the desire to avoid what we might do as evil, but aiming always at the conversion of the evildoer. Doesn't our Lord tell us that we are to do those good deeds so that men might see the goodness of them and give glory to God rather than to ourselves? And therefore we are to love our enemy. We are to forgive them. They are an enemy, that is, they intend to do us harm and may have done us harm. But the only way things are going to change is if, in fact, we try to replace the evil that is done with the good to which we are called. We are also called to love our enemy by forgiving them. This is not excusing, but this is a realization that at a certain point, the only way that we can go forward is to offer that forgiveness. A forgiveness that will take from our hearts any thought of revenge or retribution. A forgiveness that is freeing for ourselves and might by its very witness turn the heart of another. Forgiving an enemy, loving an enemy, is not condoning evil doing. What it is remembering that God is a God of life. He wishes all to understand and enjoy that life. And therefore he extends not only his goodness and his care for us, he extends his mercy as well, that all things may be transformed in that love that is simply concerned with the good be done and that life flourish.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.